Welcome to the show, Jess and Michael. How are you doing today?
We are super awesome.
We are awesome.
Super awesome. How are you?
It's good to have you on the show. I'm good. It's good to have you on the show. It's been a while now, but now we're set to go. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. I mean, me and you have been talking like months. We've been trying to set up this time to do this. We've had multiple failures. And I think part of that is because we're both so busy, you know, but also the time difference. Like, what time is it there right now?
Over here, it's about 11 p.m.
11 p.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so it's like 2 p.m. here.
Yeah, it's only 2.
Yeah.
Whatever we can do to get it out.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you.
So for everyone that doesn't know about you guys or follows you on Instagram or YouTube, just give me a quick bio of who you are, where you got started. Yeah, just go for it.
Okay. Well,
I'll let Jess do that.
You always make me do the talking. So we are Rap Sesh. We are a little mom and pop type shop, a little rap shop over in Mesa, Arizona, which is right outside of the capital of Phoenix. And we just specialize in doing like really high end luxury rap, custom stuff, color change, like full coverage. We like doing motorcycles and just kind of all the things that nobody else really does full time. We don't do a lot of business wraps. We do them occasionally, but we just like doing really custom projects, and we kind of just treat it like a hobby business, like it's an art form for us, and every car is a unique project, and we just like going all out.
So wait, pause that one over there and go even further back before you even started rapping.
Oh.
So, well, originally I was installing like probably like 8 years ago I started installing. But I was a mechanic before that. I graduated at UTI, which is Universal Technical Institute, got my associate's degree in automotive technology. And then,
so you're the one removing all the stuff.
Yeah. So I was already a mechanic full time before that. I worked at Lexus and Ford and a few other places, but I kind of just got bored of that and wanted to do something custom. So I started doing installs at a couple different shops and got just kind of caught on really well. And then me and Jess kind of met and got together, what, 3-4 years, almost 5 years ago.
Like five years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So right. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I pretty much trained her. She was really interested in what I was doing at the time, and yeah, I got her somehow hired on at the shop that I was working at.
Well, okay, so
that's your story. All right. So Jen, what's your emotion?
Go back a little bit. So we went to high school together. We met back up here a few years later. And at the time, like, I was breeding reptiles. Like, I was super into reptiles. I had, like, hundreds of tarantulas and, like, just crazy amounts of animals. I was also, like, go-go dancing and, like, just really cool, fun stuff. And I was just looking to get into something. Like, I really wanted to get into something and have a career and, like, go at it. And it was, like, right when I met Michael and he was wrapping these cars. And it was just a really interesting thing to me, and it was very artistic. So I kind of like wormed my way into the shop that he was working at the time up in Scottsdale, and I apprenticed under him and learned everything. And then like a year and a half in,
oh, 2 years,
maybe 2 years, we kind of just had a falling out, and we weren't really getting along with the owner anymore. Mm. So we ended up like walking out unexpectedly. At the time, it was right when we moved into a house, so we had spent like all of our savings money to move in.
Well planned, right?
Yeah.
A move of passion.
Yeah.
But we were just like, okay, like we're just gonna do our own shit then. So we started like wrapping bikes in our dining room kitchen, and we did a lot of mobile stuff for other shops and just kind of built up our reputation as freelance installers. And we did that probably about 8 months. And then,
so I get that you, Michael, you're a car guy, right?
Yes.
But you, Jeff, are you a car girl or are you more for the artistic side of it all?
I definitely have an appreciation for cars. I didn't really get into them until I started dating Michael and then started rapping. And now it's my life. Michael's a huge car fanatic. Like, he loves them and knows everything about them. I love to rap them and I can appreciate them, but he's definitely more knowledgeable in that area. For me, I'm really into bikes. I like bikes. So we both have motorcycles and we ride and we do a lot of motorcycle projects and female ridden things. And I just really like that.
You leave the shop. You recently spent all your money on a new house.
No, we had no money, man.
Yeah, I had to sell all my, I had a couple projects. Like, I had a 1940 Chrysler Royale and like an old 85 Volvo wagon.
What else did we sell? Like, my dirt bike that you got for my birthday.
Yeah, I had to sell my dirt bike.
My car.
And then my Jaguar. I had a
everything. Like, all stuff, except for our street bikes. We have managed to keep those. But yeah, we had like times where in the winter, like no joke, we had no power for 3 weeks. We had no hot water.
That sucked.
No gas. So we would work and then we would come home and we had an ice chest full of food and we would make foil dinners outside on our fire pit. And we lived like that for like 3 weeks because we were trying to start a business.
We put all our money into the business.
How many years back was it?
That was about 3 years ago.
So it's not that far away.
Yeah.
Not that, yeah. Actually,
yeah, 3-4 years ago. our company started in 2016 was when we started Rapsesh LLC. And so that's like when we consider when we went on our own. But it's definitely been a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
That so many things have happened and we've grown so much. So we're super happy about that.
When did you think you guys realized that, okay, we're rapping at home and you started seeing the light in the end of the tunnel? Or maybe not seeing the end of the tunnel, but maybe seeing, okay, things might turn out good for us here.
Well, the first job we actually ever ended up getting was like a 45-foot toter home with a trailer and a truck. And so like that big job took us like the first month and a half of when we started.
Yeah, it was like a white to a matte black.
Yeah. And it was like full coverage for this huge like motorcycle company. And that pretty much is the only reason why we could like get started, because it paid for, you know, at least like the first couple months of getting through, you know, finding jobs. And then just from there, our work, we let our work speak for itself. And we always said, you know, just no matter what, do the highest quality work possible. And people will, you know, appreciate it and they'll tell other people. And that's kind of how we started, was just word of mouth. So we did a job here. They told their friend, we did a job for them. They told their friends and it kind of just caught on to where we ended up needing a shop almost, you know, in the first 6 months. And we were just like, well, we can't get a shop. So we had to try to find. So we ended up just like moving in with this detailing company that had a little tiny bay that we used. And it was in this like huge hangar that
so cool. We were literally on the Falcon Field Airpark, which is right next door to us now.
Yeah.
But we were in a hangar so we could drive cars out onto the airstrip and like take pictures next to the old planes. It was so, so cool.
Yeah, it's like a private airfield. So. Yeah. They have like a lot of old school planes over there and stuff, and it's pretty laid back.
So things just happen by word of mouth, or did you do some selling by yourself? Did you go out and sell, or you just waited?
No.
Yeah, we've completely built our reputation by word of mouth and, you know, referrals. We've never had a salesperson. We've never had to like cold call or go out and sell. We've just kept our head down on our work as best as we can, and that's kind of spread for us.
I don't think we've ever done any like marketing or sales or anything like
that. No, I mean, we don't pay for Facebook or Instagram advertising. Like, nobody does our marketing for us. Like, we do all of it ourselves. And I think that definitely shows. And we, with our marketing, we really like to tell a story, and I think people really like to follow that. And just see our journey. Like I said, in just this 3 years, we started in that, well, in our house and in that hangar.
Wow.
And we've been in four different shops with three different companies. And this February was when we finally moved into our own shop for ourselves that we did not have to share. And then we also got set up with a printer and laminator. And so those, that was really our game changer moment for us when we were like, okay, now we can like hit the ground running and like really build this business.
So before we go into that, I just want to touch on something that you talked about. And that is, do you only focus on high-end quality things, right?
No.
No, we kind of, I mean, do it all.
We do daily drivers. Like, we do fleet graphics and vehicles that are beat and makeovers and, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Just whatever comes in that day.
What I actually meant to ask is really is you only deliver high-quality stuff. So you don't let bad things out of the shop.
Yes.
A lot of people are talking about high-end quality on when it comes to wraps, but for you guys, what does that mean actually?
Well, our wraps are, I mean, we're very picky on what we let leave our shop, just because it's our reputation that we've built from the ground up, and we're very proud of that reputation, and so there are times where we just literally we'll reprint things or we'll have to just like sit there for 20 minutes and argue about it because we're just like, so we're perfectionists about trying to get the right thing out.
Well, I think that our reputation really within our shop is doing all this disassembly and doing all this full coverage. And most people and sign shops and trainings, they want to teach you how to do things fast and efficient, get them in and out, do them as quick as possible, and make the most money, which is awesome. But like for us, like I said, this is a mom and pop type shop for us. Like we are the artists, we're the business owners and the installers, and we consider this art. So it's like everything that we're doing, we consider that a piece of art and we want to spend the proper time on it. So we kind of just go against the grain and we're all about like taking everything off, wrapping around the edge and like going into crazy coverage, like full door jams and just super intricate wrapping. Whereas most people are doing the standard business slap and wraps once a day kind of thing.
Yeah, we definitely spend a lot more time with our stuff, almost more than we should probably. But I mean, it definitely shows in the end of the end product is, I mean, if you put our wraps next to something that was done in 2 days rather than we spend a week on it, I mean, you can see the difference just from standing next to it. You know, it's when you see one of our wraps, it's you're not going to see that it is a wrap. Like you're gonna think it's a paint job because we go into that much detail. We use our little tricks and, you know, we kind of just try to make the best possible thing go out the door every day.
Right. And for us, I think that we treat every car differently. So every wrap is different depending on the material, the customer, the paint color, the coverage, the type of car. Like we don't always rip every car 150% down. You know, every car is totally different for us. And I think that a lot of places try to treat every car exactly the same. And we just have different methods for everything. So we really like to treat it like an artistry and innovate and improvise and just keep pushing the limits on how crazy we can make it. And we have such a really, you know, strong customer support base that lets us do that.
That's sweet. Sounds like a good setup. I mean, if you're allowed to get to have a car for a week or so,
yeah,
or maybe more, I don't know.
Oh yeah, I mean, even like consider the example of motorcycles. Like most shops will turn them down. They just don't know how to make money on it. It's really complicated. You can't really like surface wrap a motorcycle very well and get proper coverage.
It won't last.
Because all of those panels are so complex and you really do have to take them off and wrap around and do a lot of extra work to get those down. And we do bikes all the time, and like full fairing bikes, we're charging upwards of like $2,000, sometimes $2,500, as much as a car. And we spend almost the same amount of time on a bike as we do a car. So it's really about finding the right customers that are willing to pay for that quality to get that sort of product, and not every customer wants that, so you have to price things differently and treat every person differently in what they want.
Yeah, there's some cars that, you know, we can get out of here in 3 days easily. It really just depends on the car and what we're doing to it.
The Corvette, that Corvette we just did, it was a full graphics wrap, and we did it in 2.5 days, and we did it with very minimal disassembly, and it looked amazing.
Yeah, it turned out really good. So it,
whereas if we were doing a color change, it would have taken 5 to 6 days for us.
I hear there's a lot of perfectionism between you two guys. So who is the most perfectionist of you two?
It depends what area. Okay. Really. Michael is, I let Michael handle the wrapping, because like I said, he's my mentor. Everything that we've done as far as our methods has come from him. Mm-hmm. So we respect that in the shop, and we kind of let him make the decisions on what needs to be removed on the car, how we need to go about wrapping something as far as strategy. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the business side of things, I'm also wrapping, but I run most of the business front end. So that's where I kind of manage everything else. So it's definitely about playing to each other's strengths and working together on that, because there's a lot of hats that we have to wear in the shop. So we have to work together more than anything.
Well, it feels like I have a lot of questions for you, but just so we start from one end that I really want to touch on is, you guys are really big on YouTube, seeing to how big the community is and the amount of videos you really put out there. I just did a quick search now, and what I got is almost like 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, on your channel.
Yeah.
We're almost there.
Congrats.
Almost there. And we've only been doing it like a year and a half, I think.
But how many videos do you put out a week? Is it
one a week?
We only put out one a week since we started. Consistently one per week. And that's really a hard lot, to do sometimes.
Because you need to edit, you need to get the photos. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to do. I mean, we have a guy that helps us out with doing the videos and he comes in, you know, once a week and helps film and puts it together.
Well, he films it, yeah. So we actually met by wrapping his bike.
Yeah.
We did a 3-layer, like, custom knifeless design for his bike, and he was doing vlogging for himself at the time. And we kept getting requests on Instagram to do more in-depth videos and training and tutorials. And we didn't really want to do that. But people, I think, look up to us for advice and knowledge in our industry now. And so we wanted to provide more opportunities through videos. So we started doing the YouTube channel. And I mean, for us, that takes a lot of time. We're filming almost like 3 or 4 times a week. Sometimes.
Well, like he comes once a week, but even in between that, we're filming.
We have to film. Yeah, we have to film.
It's like just on our phones.
So like a lot of the time lapses and stuff and photos you see, it's a mix of his videos and our camera.
Yeah, because I know when we were trying to book it, your answer was a couple of times. No, I'm sorry, we're filming that day. We're filming that day.
Dude, always filming, right? All the time. Yeah, we just have to work with him and provide a lot of the videos. And I mean, we're paying him to do it. We're not getting paid to make these YouTube videos. You know, we don't get like hundreds of thousands of views on our videos yet. It's still a very young channel, but it costs money for us, and it takes a lot of time to do. But we're doing it to try to, you know, reach out to the community and help other installers. And we get so much good feedback and support from different installers and shops in our industry that it totally makes it worth it.
What's been the most surprising thing of it all that you didn't expect to happen?
Well, I mean we never thought we would get a printer out of, but that just kind of happened through Muto and that was, and Fellers, and we kind of really, that was a big step for us. But
what was the jump there? What did you choose?
Well, for us, like we said, you know, our business is only 3 years old. We started with no money. We didn't have investors. We didn't have anything. We've just worked our ass off pretty much and just kept building and growing. And so, you know, our personal credit got totally wrecked. Like, we don't even have credit cards still right now. Like, we can't really get big loans or anything. So we just thought a printer was always going to be out of the question for us, being able to even finance it or purchase one. And as our reputation has grown to do like custom stuff, you know, we keep getting more requests for prints and custom designs, and we work with a lot of different people across the country, designers and printers and stuff like that, but we really wanted to get our own. And right when that kind of came into being was when we met up with Muto and Fellers and started doing the live demos with them, and the opportunity was able to happen through them. So that was definitely a game changer for us.
Another thing that was just kind of like Like, we didn't really realize how much that we have actually, like we're known in other countries, and we're like,
dude, that's so crazy.
Yeah,
we're talking to someone in another.
Yeah, like, and right so now. we never thought that we would get to that point at all. You know, like, we were just doing this, like,
we're like these little kids, like, these kids with a tiny shop that struggles to pay their bills. Yet there are people from New Zealand, like Brazil, Australia, like all over the world that know who we are, and we speak to them on a regular basis, and they support us and, you know, buy our shirts.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah. And I mean, even when we just got our printer, I have other shops and installers that have their own printers, but they're like, no, I want you to print it for me. And like, I want to support you. So I have these shops, you know, ordering prints from us. And it's just so cool getting to have that reach with people across the world that we would otherwise never get to connect with.
Yeah.
A pretty nice ride for 3 years, right?
It's been a climb. Like, yeah, we've always gone upwards, I feel like, and we've constantly grown and done better and better, but it's a roller coaster. Like,
also,
I mean, we struggle to pay our bills every month. Yeah. You know, we have all the same problems that other shops have, and we're installers. We have no business background, and we're running a company that has a huge reputation and is growing quickly. And so just learning how to manage that has been a complete journey for us.
Well, we've kind of just learned as we went. Definitely. And made it work.
Yeah.
Like, we just made everything work somehow.
We've had so many points when we've almost failed, when we've almost gone under, when, you know, like, we go through some hard stuff here, but we always put our best foot forward when it comes to our social media and like just being supportive of people in the industry. And it's like good vibes only. And I think people really gravitate towards that.
If you look at the rap business, most of us are just rappers that want to rap. We want to do cool shit and we want to be happy with what we deliver to our customers. And we're not always really focused on the business side of it all. So the business side of the rap business seems to lag after. So you've been here for 3 years, you're focused on delivering cool as shit all the time, but what big business lessons have you had during those 3 years? What's the biggest one you take with you?
Well, definitely, I think the importance of marketing. People don't understand how important Instagram actually is and Facebook. And that's really how we've built our reputation. And that's where our customer base is as well. And that's really important for our growth. I think rappers that inspire to be business owners have to understand that it's going to be the hardest thing that you will ever do. But it's also
the most freeing thing,
the best thing that you could ever do.
Yeah. I mean, you have no strings attached. You can do whatever you want when you're under yourself. You know, it's
right. Like, it's really hard for us as business owners and as a company that's growing. Like, we're still so young in, and we, you know, we're still learning, and we've had lots of blunders and falls. And it's all about just having that no fail attitude. Like, failure is not an option. We don't have an option of failing at this point. There's so many people that look up to us and that support us. And, you know, it's just, failure is not an option. So you have to kind of have that mindset. You have to understand that money's going to come and go, and you should expect not to make any money for a long time. And that's okay. But as long as you keep growing and keep innovating, you're going to do it.
Sweet. Now, I wanted to get in a little bit about projects, right? I follow you for a while now, and I've seen a lot of cool-ass projects. But what's been, until today, the hardest project ever? And also, what did you learn from it?
What was our hardest project? Probably the Lamborghini.
Space Jam.
Yeah, that was hard as hell.
Oh, that was so hard.
We did the whole thing in like a red chrome, which is already really hard to install with.
That in laminated red chrome.
But we laminated it, and so that made it extra thick and hard to install.
And we also did, what was it, an Aventador?
Yeah.
Okay, so SV. It was a white one, and we did full coverage in that satin laminated chrome. And then we had a red Galaxy custom printed on 3M 1080 Ghost Flip. So that was really hard to work with as well.
And the Oracal.
And then we had Oracal, like, 651, I think.
Which is like non-air release.
Yeah, it's like a honeycomb film all on the same car. And it was a totally like 3-layer custom, like full door jams. We did the engine bay. We did an astronaut mural underneath the hood.
Yeah, we even took the bonnet off and wrapped underneath
it. It was so cool. But yeah, the only place that you could see the white paint on that car was like the hinges.
I even took like the side skirts. We took the bumpers off. We took like, we went into full. This guy wanted like 100% coverage. He didn't want to see any white like anywhere. And so it was definitely, I had to like, I mean, I've taken apart supercars before, but that was my first SE. I mean, and it was definitely, you know, it's nerve-wracking working on something that is so expensive and so high-end, you know, like, even though you're working on stuff all day, every day, it's, you have something like that, and you kind of just have to put it in the back of your mind, because if you're working on a car like that, you are worrying about it the whole time, you will mess something up, you know? So you have to just kind of like, you know, do what you do. And every car is put together the same way. They're all put together
with nuts and bolts. Different.
Yeah. They all have their own way, but once you learn how to take multiple cars apart, they all kind of fit, you know, they're all the same way.
Just like a different type of puzzle.
Yeah. And so you can just figure that out as you go. So, you know, I'm always taking apart new cars that I've never taken apart before, because there's always new cars coming out. And so you have to just adapt to what comes in, because there's always going to be something new.
And that goes back to our point of every car is totally different. You know, we decide based on the coverage and the type of car, what needs to be removed and why. And Michael makes all those decisions, and he's really good. He's a really good mechanic. Like, he can get on any car and rip apart anything. Like, no problem.
Michael, do you do that? Do you do that prior to the install when you're getting out the quote, or you do it after?
Sometimes. I tear down the car when it first comes in. We just do full.
We do day one is prep.
Yeah, prep. We do full prep and disassembly, which is, you know, clean the car as I disassemble, which I'm taking off. Normally it's handles, mirrors, bumpers, seals, anything that really is just in the way. And that really just depends on, you know, like she said, it depends on the car. And, but yeah, I mean, and then once we're all done with the wrap, then on the last day, I reassemble everything, put it back together, and then, you know, give it a nice wipe down, and it's ready to go.
So you have a workflow that works, really?
We do, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, when we're not, it's kind of hard for us, because we're only two people, and we have one other employee that helps us out, but...
For installs,
but it's also a lot when I'm bouncing around to, say, three different cars that we have in the shop, and I'm working on all of them at the same exact time, you know, being pulled here, pulled there, trying to remove things here. And then I have to jump over here. And it's just, sometimes it can definitely be.
We get overbooked a lot. Like, sometimes it's ridiculous. We'll have five cars and there's three installers. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like,
What did we do to ourselves?
It's not all our fault. The customers, you have those types of customers that will just like, call you and literally drop off the day of and dump it on you, and you have to just do it, you know. So we have to cater to things like that often.
Especially like fleet vehicles and stuff, usually those type of customers, they can't wait for their vehicle,
right?
So they're they have to schedule it like, okay, I need it done this day right now, like, so you have to, you always have to keep one spot open.
It gets tough to try to schedule it out perfectly, because oftentimes we end up doing a lot more work than we originally like quoted out, because we'll find things broken, or we'll do dent repair if we find something, or, you know, we try to always give them back the car better than we found it and address any issues that we find. And so normally they're adding on additional services and things like that. Yeah. So the timelines always change, where one car you're expecting to have for 4 days, you now have for 12 days because they added four other services. So you have to be able to kind of accommodate that.
You would be surprised how many cars I actually fix, like, from other people breaking them. So I, like, once I'm pulling these cars off, I find stuff that is broken all the time. And I usually either tell the customer immediately, you know, like,
take a photo, send them a list.
So, like, the last example was, like, there was a Mustang that came in, and his bumper was completely, so he had this, like, turbocharger kit and everything installed, and supposedly whoever took his bumper off last had broke all of the clips that hold the side of the bumper on. And so instead of fixing the clips, which is really not an expensive piece, it would have been very easy to fix, but they just epoxied and put, you know, all kinds of rubber cement in there and just squished his bumper on. And so they literally rubber cemented his bumper onto his car. And so I had to actually Dremel and drill out this all this, you know, rubber cement and, like, just to get his bumper off. And, you know, and then I ended up coming up with a quick fix. You know, we ended up throwing these race tabs on there. It looked really good. It was better than when he brought it in. And, you know, that's what we're all about is, you know, like she said, giving the car back better than when it came in.
Wait, but can we talk about all the tools that we have found?
Oh, inside my God.
Tell them about Ricky's car.
Oh, yeah. So we had a brand new Lexus to IS250 come from a body shop, and I had to go pick up the car, and I drove it all the way back to our shop, which is miles away. And we get to the shop, I start doing the teardown because we were doing a full removal and then rewrapping it, because she had gotten in an accident and just got all the body work done. Well, I open the hood. And I look right down in between the fan and the engine, and there's a big plastic bag of clips and a big metal pry, like a pop tab tool. And it was just sitting right there on the engine in between a hose. And, like, that could have...
Whoa.
Yeah, like, and that could have been really bad, though, because if that tool could have hit the fan, it would have thrown... It would have, you know, popped the fan off. It could have popped the serpentine belt off. She could have blown her motor. Like, and I drove the car. So, but, like, I'm always finding, like, ratchets.
You always find ratchets. Like, one was attached to the exhaust of our SEMA build. We found one in a headliner.
Yeah. I'm always finding tools and stuff that mechanics or other shops that are leaving in the car. It's almost comical. It's kind of funny, but it you'd be surprised how many times it actually happens.
But yeah, we definitely go above and beyond and try to fix anything that we find wrong.
You guys send pictures to the customer as the wrap is going along?
Yeah,
always.
Definitely.
Yeah. We usually get process pictures.
Yeah, or if we have, like, a car that comes in and gets unwrapped and we didn't wrap it, we always send photos after, because sometimes there can be damage, like their paint gets pulled up with the wrap or there's cut marks, things like that. So we always want to show them pictures of their car unwrapped before we actually rewrap it, so they know about that damage before we even begin. So we're super thorough about, like, upfront inspections and photos.
Now, another thing I also wanted to talk to you about is goals. Right. So what are your goals with the company? What do you want to achieve?
Our goals. I mean, we don't want to ever get too big. I don't want to be like, I don't want to have 60 employees. Like, that's not even fun for me.
We treat our shop like we are the artists that people are coming to. So we want to keep the work where we can keep doing the custom stuff, but also have more, like, another team of installers to help us do, like, business wraps and all sorts of other types of wraps, you know. So we definitely want to expand and have a few more employees and grow out of the shop space, which I feel is
we've already. We've already done that.
But wait, aren't you pretty new in that shop?
Yeah, we're having our grand opening today, and we already are.
It's been, like, 2 hours, and our shop is, like, 2,500 square feet, which... For 3 installers right now, 3 cars, it works okay. But, you know, we're planning on growing, like, big time over this next year, especially now with, like, our printer. The first month we had it, like, just playing around with it, I mean, we made an extra 15 grand. in 1 month just off the print. And we weren't even like full force using it. You know, we're still learning and tweaking it, but we're doing custom prints for people and doing our own stuff as well. We just printed a wrap for a car that we have here in the shop. So it's been great.
Yeah.
So with that said, what's the future? What's the future ahead? What's coming up that's interesting, good? What can you tell?
Well, there is something coming up, but I can't tell you.
Tell me. Tell
Patrick. You already know.
What is it?
What do you think it is, Jess?
Rest
no, it's bigger than that.
What's bigger than that?
The show.
Which show? What are you talking about?
Now, people, this is not rehearsed.
The show today?
No! TV!
Huh?
Are you doing a TV show?
No.
Maybe?
Look what you did!
It's just something...
Yeah, don't!
It's something that we've talked about. But I can't say anything else!
Stop right there!
No, but there's big things that we're doing with the YouTube channel and stuff like that we're planning on, you know.
Oh, you know what? On the subject of shows, though, we did film with Mod Kids USA, which they have an Amazon TV series.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be on the next series for that and filming some more. So we're working with, like, Mia Chapman. She's a huge racer, and a couple other Mod Kids locally. And then...
We have like three different ones.
Function Factory Performance. We did a Mustang for them for Ceramic Pro USA. And they are doing a whole vlog series driving that car like around the US to a bunch of different tracks. And our Twitch account, you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think that's so? Why did you think that you guys got the opportunity to wrap those cars?
I think probably just. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously our social media has attracted the attention, but I think it's just because we have our own way of doing things. We're a little bit different than most. We have our own techniques, our own, you know, just we stand out.
You do really crazy custom.
For some reason, we stand out, and it's mostly because of Jess's green hair, but...
I think that people like our story. I think that it does attract people to our vibe because there are female installers here. And, like, you know, there's girls working on cars. Like, yeah, we definitely market that to our advantage. But our reputation and our quality and, like, how we treat our wraps as art, I think, is what people really like. And just following our journey and our story. And all of these people that are filming these, like, you know, shows and stuff like that. I think we're just an interesting, I don't know. Why do you like us? You tell me.
You being somewhat of a perfectionist, I guess you're, I guess you can see the pride really through the pictures. That's what I see. And when I see the photos and the videos, you like what you're doing. That goes through also. It's for real. Well, that's my point of view.
I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you. We try to keep it real. I mean, our videos, our YouTube channel is like, he comes in and sometimes it's just like, oh, whatever we have in the shop, let's just figure something out. So we make up these episodes impromptu. There's no script. There's no training. There's no practice. Like, it's one hit wonder, like just shooting how we are. And if you watch our videos, you'll see there's bloopers like scattered all throughout them, and we're like super stupid most of the time.
it's you are yourselves on the videos, and that shines through.
Definitely.
we try to just be ourselves instead of trying, you know, everyone's so like formal about a lot of things. And we just want to be more personable. Like something that people can relate to more and enjoy watching rather than just having something that's
technical
and, you know, some people could get bored of that. It's you got to keep it interesting. And
we always say that our work is professional, so we don't have to be.
that's a good one. Yep. So of all the videos you have on YouTube, which one has the most plays?
I think I would have to get on there and look, but I'm pretty sure it's one of our motorcycle episodes. let me see, with Kite.
Mm-hmm. Why?
That she is my BFF, and she's a huge hobbyist motorcycle racer. Mm-hmm. So she's got 10 bikes, Ducatis, BMWs, KTMs, like all sorts of really nice stuff. And we are, I guess she's one of our sponsored riders. So we've done probably 4 or 5 of her bikes, 3 or 4 of her helmets, and she goes with us to shows and things like that. And it's super cool, but I'm pretty sure it's one of her episodes.
All right, you got to check that one out then.
And it's by a lot, like a lot, if you look at the views on the other video.
So, Jess and Michael, what another thing I also need to ask you about is you are a couple, right? You, yep. You live together, I presume. You work together.
Yep.
You see each other in the morning. You see each other at lunch. You see each other at night. And that sounds awesome. Yeah, yeah, that sounds awesome to a lot of people. And to another, a lot of people, it sounds like, man, how is that even possible? So to everyone out there, what's your best tip? How to make it work?
I can't say what I want to say.
I don't even. No, I mean, honestly, we just, since the day we've met, for some reason, I mean, we just clicked and we just get along really well. And most of the time we get along better outside of work, but, and you know.
Yeah. Well, when we fight at work, we fight about what's the best way to make this the absolute best possible.
So it's a good fight.
Yeah.
Fighting on how to do it the absolute best way. So that's kind of where we butt heads. And then just, you know, general stress of running a shop. But when we're outside of the shop, like, we do totally fine together. Like, it's like a switch. When we leave the shop, we're not working anymore. And, you know, we can just chill out. And we're just super laid back people back home. And, you know, we're from the same hometown and we have the same friends. And it just works out for us. So
just, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy, though, like, people definitely, I mean, we get it all the time. Like, how, I don't understand.
You're like, how do you not kill each other?
But I don't really know. It's just, we just kind of been doing it, and it's, we've been with each other every day since. And I, like, literally, we've probably spent like a week apart in the past
5 years.
5 years. Like,
that was like over 5 years, not like.
Yeah. So.
It's disgusting, really.
But it works. Yeah, we definitely just kind of click, and we just
I think that partner wrapping is very, it's a very good thing to do if you have a partner, because you can do panels like and have such a cleaner install when you have two sets of hands. So from the beginning, learning from him, like, we just have very mm-hmm. tandem wrapping vibes. You know what I mean? Like, we know how to read each other, and we know what we both want to do in an install, so it works really well. Where when we do panels together, we can like knock shit out, and it is like exactly the same. You know, so I think it's really good to do that. And that's
really, yeah, you know how to work together, right?
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
when I get hangry,
unless she's hungry.
Yeah, and hot. Maybe
it's like, yeah, the like the Snickers, right? Oh, it's she's definitely. we had like a snack pack that we always have to keep in the shop.
It's an emergency snack that my dad got.
Break it on emergency.
Yeah.
So it.
Hey, so really quick on the subject of the YouTube videos, I just looked it up, and the most viral episode is Beauty and the Bikes. Vinyl wrapping motorcycles, and we do a fender and a helmet for Kite, and that video has 394,000 views, which is way more than any other video.
That's a lot of views.
Not too bad.
Not too shabby.
No, congrats. So, let me get my train of thought here over here. What I was going to ask you about was, I heard a little rumor.
Uh-oh.
About something happening in August.
In August.
It's Michael's birthday? Yeah! How old are you going to be?
29.
29 and feeling fine?
Oh, yeah.
That is young, my man.
We're just babies.
Yeah. So I was thinking around the 15th, maybe like something like that, 15th of August.
RapsCon.
RapsCon.
Yeah.
What's going down?
Yeah, there. So that's gonna be we're gonna be doing some live demos at RapsCon in Long Beach.
That's big, right?
The 15th.
It's yeah. August 15th through the 18th.
Yeah. But that's a really cool show because pretty much everyone in the rap industry, if you need to know, they're there. I mean, they're, you know, it's all the big names are there. Everyone who needs to be known is there. And it's just really cool to get together with all those people that you contact through Instagram and see their pictures every day on Facebook. And, you know, everyone gets to come together and finally see each other in person and, you know, it's just a really cool show. We have like a bunch of little parties in between all throughout the, you know, the weekend. And, but yeah, we're going to be wrapping like this, 1,000 horsepower Subaru, and we have some crazy,
it's going to be so cool. I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's going to be some crazy, crazy design that we came up with. And
well, we're collaborating with Glarb Design. Yeah. One of our main homies over in Florida that we like to use a lot. And we're going to do like a 3-layer crazy custom. Do you want to tell them the theme? Can we say that?
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to understand. Okay, you're not going to really.
So it's going to be a P-40 Warhawk theme. So like the shark mouse on the side, like look like an old crazy airplane. But it's also going to be combined with like space shuttle.
All right.
It's
sounds crazy, but it's going to be awesome.
It's hard. Yeah, it's going to be. It's hard to picture, but it'll be cool.
I'm looking forward to those pictures. I know you guys are having an opening in a couple of hours, so I guess we don't have all the time in the world that I like. But I have a couple of questions for you. They're called quick questions.
No worries.
You can answer them quick. You can answer them slow. That's up to you. So, what do you love wrapping the most?
Like what kind of car or what object?
Whatever comes to your mind.
I mean, obviously cars for sure. I don't really have a favorite car though.
You're like a favorite wrap?
Like, I don't know. What do you think?
The Bugatti.
Well, yeah, that was cool. Wrapping a Bugatti was cool. But like, I really like doing like trophy trucks and stuff, like off-road vehicles. That's always fun to do. It's always just kind
of
like,
because
it's like, I like doing race cars because they're easy. Because you know they're getting beat up. You have to do them quick, but they always turn out super cool. I don't know. It's just always fun to do like off-road vehicles or race cars and stuff like that.
How about you, Jess?
I like doing the really custom stuff. So like when we do the motorcycles that are like multi-layer designs, helmets, like wheelchairs, just like guitars, stuff that's kind of out of the ordinary.
You know what? I do really like wrapping guitars.
Guitars are fun.
Yeah, they're just fun to do. I like taking them apart and then like they're very meticulous.
We're doing one for RapsCon that's going to be in the Excel booth.
Yeah. Didn't you do one for Limp Bizkit or what was it?
We
did one for a Chester Bennington tribute, who was the lead singer of Linkin Park. Yeah, that was a really cool one. They raffled it off and they donated the money to the 320 Be the Change Foundation, I think.
Yeah, his wife made that foundation.
Wow. Yeah. It's like about mental health awareness. And it's so really that was cool. Really cool to be a part of.
Next question. What is your preferred vinyl?
For color change or print?
I like Avery.
Overall?
Yeah. I like Avery and Cheetah.
Cheetah Wraps is awesome.
Cheetah Wraps, like for bikes, I love Cheetah.
They don't have a lot of colors yet. They're still new, but their material is awesome.
As far as install,
yeah, a lot of people are kind of up and down about it just because it's a very, very low tack film, but you have to like put a little bit of extra, you know, pressure and heat to make it stick. But once it's down and you post heat it, it holds so well and it stretches well. It's,
you don't get the stretch lines, and you can do it. You can do a lot more with it. You just have to know how to use it.
Especially when you're installing by yourself, it's the best material you could work with.
All right. Super, you get to do it over. What is your go-to tool at the moment?
Probably my yellow tool squeegee, my green, my, what is it?
And the green ones.
What are those called? The Pro Wrap. Yeah, that's my favorite squeegee. I have this really cool tool that it's used for washing dishes, but it works awesome for like little corners and stuff. It's like a little gel tip tool. Yeah. And there it's, I use it all the time for like really tight corners or really tight, just places that you can't really even get your finger into. But it's awesome. Yeah. You can just really throw a lot of heat on it and just pretty much stamp a corner, and it just really hold, and it forms perfectly. And it's just, it's pretty cool.
And one last question would be that if you will give us your two best tips, which would they be?
Probably the best, I mean, the most important thing you can do is prepping the car properly. If you don't prep the car properly, your vinyl will not hold, it won't stick, and it's probably going to give you a hassle the entire time. It's probably the most important thing, even in anything, is prep. If you don't prep it right, the job's not going to go right. And that's probably the most important, as well as at the end, post-heating. If you don't post-heat it, it's probably not going to stay.
I think post-heating is very underrated, and people don't spend enough time doing it. And it really makes a difference in how your wrap is going to hold. Like, you have to bake that shit down. So I think post-heating is definitely important. And I wish that people would utilize steamers more often. Because we've been using our like pressure on demand steamer every day, and we use it to post heat, and it does so much. It helps the surface imperfection.
Even just scratches from installing, just from the squeegee. Yeah, it takes everything away. It really, it softens up that laminate again and reheals it.
Yeah, and it's super fast too. Like, there's so many uses for steamers now. So we really like using that for post heating. But my other, we'll use it for vinyl removals, all sorts of things. But my other word of advice for installing would be, when in doubt, pin it out. I think that a lot of people, like, you have to have laminate strip. Like, we use that stuff all the time on color changes and graphics wraps, and you can use that and hold something down, and it's practically invisible. So we utilize that a lot. Like, if you have a funky corner that's not holding, like, you can sling laminate strip around it and pre-stretch, and that tension is going to hold that corner down for you. And, you know, so we use that a lot.
Sweet. So before I let you go on to the big event of the day, if people want to find you guys, where are you at? Where can they search for you?
Like all of our social media stuff. So we're on Facebook and Instagram. You can look up Wrap Sesh AZ or Vinyl Vixen Wraps. And then we also have our YouTube channel. That's just Wrap Sesh. So www.youtube.com/Wrap Sesh. And you'll see our channel on there. And then we just started, or we just launched, a Twitch account. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was not up until a few weeks ago, but basically it's a live streaming account where oftentimes people do like video game streaming and stuff like that. And our camera guy, Todd's really been pushing us to do it. So we're going to kind of try and test it out so we can do more interactive, like Q&As, like live time wrap sessions, like when we're doing disassemblies or like wrapping something intricate, where you can watch live time and interact with us. So we want to try to do that to connect more with our, like our installers, kind of that support base.
And what's your username there?
I think it's just Wrap Sesh as well.
Cool.
So I think next Friday,
Q&A,
we are going to do like our first live Twitch test Q&A. So yeah.
Like I always leave all the people that are on the show a couple of seconds just to tell the rapping world whatever they feel they want to tell the world. Your words of wisdom. So just go ahead, let the world know what you think.
What is your words of wisdom, Jess?
My words of wisdom. That's a lot of pressure.
Don't give up. That's for sure. If you're running a business, don't give up. Because if you give up, you know, like that.
If you
just keep going, things will always work out. Like we've always come to a point where it's like, oh no, like we don't know what to do. There's, you know, that or something's not going to work out. Or say you messed up a panel or whatnot. Just put your head back down and do it again. Because if you don't, it's, you know, you're never going to get there.
Adapt or die. Yeah. You just got to be willing to keep your head down and keep in the grind regardless of what you're doing, whether it's rapping or running a business, or you know, you got to be willing to work.
Thank you very much for everything, like I said before, and it's been a true pleasure, and best of luck today, and talk to you and maybe see you soon.
Rock solid.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.